When anyone receives revelation in the Word of God, it sometimes conflicts with what he has previously been taught. This causes you to have to deal with old traditions or wrong teaching. These tapes may contain some new light from God's Word, and it may be opposed to some traditions you have previously learned. Therefore, follow through these messages in your Bible, in sequence, in order that you may be able to make a choice for the Word of God rather than the traditions of men. This is tape number 11 in a series. We urge you to listen to all the tapes in the series in numerical order so that the whole teaching can be received and understood. Listening to a part of this series or to the tapes out of sequence can lead to a misunderstanding of the nature, the intent, and the importance of this series.
Folks, do you see how our ancestors have had to explain away the works of God and the works of the Spirit? You know why? Because it wouldn't work for them. And it wouldn't work for them because of their hearts are tied to ungodliness and doctrines that do not conform you to godliness. And so, what you get passed down to you, look at me, is these thick books and things explain away the Bible. And then you find yourself standing on these things instead of, you know what I mean? What's after me now? Galatians 6. All right, now let me just say something to you. Now, we've seen in Romans 7 that you don't join your heart to the old man and join your heart to Jesus. If you try to do that, you're walking as adulteress. Isn't that right? All right, now, if your heart is joined to the flesh and your heart's trying to be joined to Jesus, you know what you're going to speak? You're going to speak blessings and curses. You're going to become a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Amen? Anyone that speaks in this manner right there and walks in that manner and refuses to overcome it and practice sin is there in idolatry. Because when you will not overcome sin or not overcome the flesh, now that doesn't mean that we're not seeing some things to overcome, because all of us got some things obviously to overcome. Isn't that right? But when we refuse to overcome, that means that we've fallen away to something that our hearts are loving more than it is the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that right? So this is what you want to guard against. No matter what we're going through, now I'm going to tell you something, folks. You're entering into a time, now I want to make you aware of something, that you're going to suffer. Now when you hadn't been programmed to suffer and it comes up, don't get under condemnation over it. You hear what I mean? Because let me just share something with you. I wouldn't be able to share some things with you that I know if I hadn't already gone through some things. Are you hearing me? Now, you're not going to have anything to share with anyone until you've got something. Till the only thing you can share is what the Lord's done to you, not what you know. You understand? See, it's an amazing thing. Here's what breaks my heart. It's how the powers that aren't to do this. If I had to go by what I have had spoken about me, it'd scare me to death to hear me. It's the most amazing thing. It's the most amazing thing how the powers of darkness are able to do that. That's been one of the beatenest things I've ever seen in my life. I mean, I was absolutely... The Lord let me just see I was beat before I got started. And when I started taking... And people have picked out... Can you imagine picking out some of these things that I'm saying and going and telling some people, and here it goes all over the place, you see. I mean, that he said such and such. And of course... I mean, that sounds bad if you don't have it in balanced in the context of the Word or something like that. And still, ever since I've started these things, I've told and I've said that I stand correction. I don't have anything to stand on except the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what kind of got me in the flesh and everything, is because when I offered to do that, and I wouldn't get corrected, but I'd get attacked because I didn't understand it. And I had to go back and read my Bible some more. Now I understand it. Devils are devils. Any way you hook up a devil, he's a devil. You know what I mean? flesh will always going to act like flesh. So there is supposed to be opposition, so you're supposed to rejoice in it. Rejoice in the fact there's enough grace on you to know the difference, and just pray that that same person that doesn't happen to see what you see can receive the same grace. Amen? So now, if we got a double-minded heart, we're trying to walk after Jesus, ain't the flesh, we're going to speak blessings and curses. Now, I want to see, you see we saw here in Galatians 5 how that you're going to be led by the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the flesh. And we saw 19 through 21, we see the deeds of the flesh are obvious. And then we see in verse 22 what the deeds of the Spirit are. So obviously we're supposed to be have the fruit of the Spirit as we're overcoming more and more, right? Because those who belong, verse 24, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Now, we're warned over and over, as Eve was. And when you're talking about do not be deceived, it's the areas where you eat off the tree of the death and think you have a place with God. Now watch it there in verse 7. Galatians 6, verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, this will also reap. Now, let me ask you something. Have we already learned? Look here. You sow from your mouth. If you sow breaking the law, what are you going to do? I mean, the law is going to be wrath, bring wrath, judgment, condemnation, and a curse against you. Is that right? All right, but if you're going to be sowing to the Spirit, you're sowing love, and so you get blessed in everything you do. By your standard of measure, it's going to be poured in your lap. Amen? Okay, now watch this, verse 8. For the one who sows to his flesh, in other words, your heart is living for your flesh, and the fruit of the flesh is coming out of your mouth. Now, that's what you're sowing. Is that right? For the one who sows to his own flesh shall from the flesh reap what? You will reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit is from the Spirit going to reap what? He's going to reap eternal life. So then see, you're either reaping corruption or you're reaping eternal life. Obviously, adulteresses don't have a place in heaven. Is that right? Because they've fallen away. Adulteress is not fallen. Lord don't have all their heart. Amen? And they're being destroyed too. Now I want you to remember that we saw the divine nature. You don't have to turn to it. But 2 Peter 1, 4, that we might become partakers of divine nature and we escape the corruptions in the world by lust or in the world by flesh. And so I just want you to remember that. Now looking with me, turn with me please to James. We're going to see how that double-minded man, what he sounds. What he looks like, what he sounds like, how he acts, how he walks. We know, let's just start in chapter 1. We say in chapter 1, verse 16, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. In other words, it said, does that mean the brethren could be deceived? We're running in that do not to be deceived a lot, aren't we? All right, verse 14, because what will happen is you'll be tempted and enticed. False teachers can do this, and also the powers of darkness can do this. They'll tempt you, entice you, and carry you away from the faith after your own what? Lust. Because, see, you're putting the lust to death. You're not letting it come alive. You choose death against it. You reckon it is dead, and the powers of darkness come along and stir it up are people in the flesh. Now, verse 15, and when lust conceived, it gives birth to sin. Sin's accomplished, and it brings forth death. So anytime you have sin, the powers of darkness, you're breaking the law, are able to bring start working death in you because that's what the law brings is death and wrath. Is that right? It's the ministry of death, wrath, and condemnation. It's a curse. So we see that's reading it said in verse 19, this you know, my beloved brethren, but let everyone be quick to hear, and you better be slow to what? You're slow to open your mouth, and don't ever thought it comes in your mind. You don't say that. Now verse 21, put aside all filthiness, all that remains of the flesh, wickedness and humility, receive the word implanted. That's how you're born again by the word of God, which is able to save your soul. But for doer of the word and not merely hearers, because the one that just hear it delude themselves. Isn't that right? All right. We know in chapter 3. Now this is the way you overcome in verse 2. For we all stumble in many ways. If one does not stumble in what he says, watch your mouth. He is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. Now, let's look in verse 8. No one can tame the tongue. It's restless evil and full of deadly poison. Now, here's a man who is trying to walk with Jesus, and he's trying to walk with love the old man and have Jesus too. With the tongue we bless our Lord, and with it we curse men. We speak judgment, condemnation, unforgiveness, criticism, slander, judgment. We curse men who've been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. That's double-mindedness, isn't it? Is that double-mindedness? My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. In other words, this is not the way it's supposed to be. And, of course, we saw over there in Hebrews 6, you better not be bearing the thorns and thistles. And this is why you better not be bearing the thorns and thistles. Is that right? Because you're being burnt, you're close to being cursed, and you're going to end up being burned up if you continue at it. Amen? And, of course, if you attack your heart, what did it say? Except your righteousness exceed that of the Pharisees, you'll not enter in the kingdom of God. And what the Pharisees did, they attached themselves to a teaching that blocked them from receiving the Word of God. They were not of God. Amen? Well, see, that's what we have to guard against. So if you're walking after, if you're speaking curses here, what are you sowing? What are you sowing after? You're sowing after the flesh, isn't that right? Because your heart is still loving the flesh. Amen? Or you wouldn't be. That's how you speak curses against people, judgment, unforgiveness, and all these things, because you're still loving. That shows you there's some roots right there. Pride, greed, some motives right there that's not the Lord. Are you hearing me? That's the reason you speak judgment, condemnation. See, you're doing the opposite of love because there's selfishness and self-centeredness and self-love there, right? Isn't that right? Now, that's just an indication there's bigger things there that's wrong. All right, now, so that's called, look what he calls people like this in chapter 4, verse 4. What does he call people like this? Speaks blessing, curses. You adulteress. See, that's exactly what Romans 7 calls. It calls it the harlot, double-minded. This is what we saw in Galatians 6. Now, what did we see? Now look at me. That's all we're going. We're going to another chapter now. What did we see is going to happen to people who speak, who sow to the flesh? Didn't we just say they're going to reap corruption? And the one who sowed the spiritual one's going to reap eternal life. See, that all comes out to the thing without the sanctification. You're not going to see the Lord. Let's just say that's in the Bible. Right? I mean, it's just there. If you don't understand it, you need to understand it. But anybody with pride, I'll let pride and greed know that's in the Bible. So we back up there to chapter 3, and we're seeing, you see, when your heart's livid, if your ambition's not to please Jesus, then your ambition is selfish ambition. Verse 15. This wisdom is not which comes from above, but this kind of wisdom where you're sowing these curses and speaking against people, that's the way of the world. It's earthly, it's of the flesh, and it's demonic. Amen? The world, flesh, and demonic. Now, that's exactly what it is. So, for where jealousy, see, love is not jealous. Is that what you see in 1 Corinthians 3, 4? For where jealousy and selfish ambition, that's living as the flesh exists, there is disorder and every evil thing. And see, this is what goes on today, and it's called love. Now, let me show you what happens. When you pervert grace, you pervert love. It's not love. It's deceitful. It's deceitful. That's to use and manipulate people. Amen? For the sake of gaining advantage. It's not looking out for the interest of your neighbor. When you speak in curses, you're looking out for yourself. It's not love. And see, that's what's happening today. So, but let's go to first chapter 4. It talks about sowing peace and everything. What is the source, verse 1? Are the quarrels and conflicts among you? Is not the source your flesh, living after the flesh, that wage war in your members? That's you lust. See, your heart's going after the lust of the flesh, and you don't have your way, so you commit murder. You just separate yourself from people, and you're envious. There's that envy and murder working in you, and you can't obtain your way. See, that's world flesh, and that's what demonic brings. And, of course, if they ever get you after their doctrines, they've got you. You fight and quarrel, and you don't have your way because you don't ask the Lord's way. Now, look at verse 3, what happens to your prayers. Now, we saw how you get all your prayers answered in John 15:16 when you bear fruit. I'm going to tell you bearing fruit for the devil right here. So in verse 3 it says, when you pray, you don't receive because you're praying with the wrong motives, because you want to cast it on your pleasures. Now let me show you something, folks. This is why the Lord don't work with folks. If you're not overcoming and come to light, what you're doing, you're loving some things of the old, maybe pride, greed, or things like this. And what happens is you're thinking, now God, I want you to just cooperate with me. I want you to heal this person, or I want you to set these people free, or whatever. And what you're doing is you're trying to take the things of God. You're trying to please God, who's one of your idols, but you're also trying to please that pride or greed, see. And so he doesn't answer your prayers, because you're praying with the wrong motives. In other words, people have pride and greed. They want to look good to other people, so they want God to cooperate with them. And same reason Satan wanted Jesus to jump off of down into the courtyard, you know, off the temple, so people see him and follow his ministry, see? It's not us that's going to bring them. It's not our, that's the strength of the flesh. It's the grace of God. Folks, are you going to receive the fact that it's the whole body of Christ that Jesus works through? See, when you come to Jesus, you no longer know one another after the flesh. Now, see, you don't give... See, because when you start knowing one another after the flesh, you're showing partiality. You know what you're doing when you're showing partiality? Let me show you what you're doing right here. We're right there, already close to it. Look in James 2 right there. Verse 9. 2 verse 9. If you are showing partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as a transgressor. Anybody that's showing partiality, that means, you know what it shows? That you've got some motives in your heart that's breaking the law. You got pride or something because you want partiality, because you want to work people to do something for you. That's the reason you're showing partiality. You're not showing love to everyone. Amen? Are you following me? Now look at the verse above that in verse 8. It says, but however, if you're fulfilling the royal law accordingly to the scripture, you shall love your neighbors yourself, you're doing well. Now there's the opposite of it. Showing partiality breaks the law, and when you're loving your neighbors yourself, folks. Now, let me encourage you about something. Can I tell you folks something? Now, see, you're going to get strength. I can't tell you how important this is. Your strength of walking with the Lord is going to be in the amount of time you spend in the Word. Are you hearing me? And just don't start out this thing, y'all. Well, I don't know what I'm going to study or something like that. You'll have so much to find in there, you'll never be able to get to it once you get in there. There's no end to it. But here's the trap. Now, I want you to listen to me, what I'm fixing to tell you. The trap is that the enemy is going to bring all kind of situations. You see it? You just got to say no. Say no. Now, when you spend that time with the Lord, now see, a person's not strong. He's not very strong. See, you're strong in the Lord, but get full of the Word. The secret is getting the Word in your heart, see, and walking in it. Amen? And when the more you walk in it, the more understanding and the revelation that the Lord will give you. Every time you overcome, you get promoted. I already told you that, didn't I? Amen? Now, let me tell you something, folks. When you set your mind on love, when you're pursuing peace, do you understand the kind of things that you know that we're going to be seeing, that God's going to be showing us, and we're going to need each other. It's not going to wait for some personality or anything like that. We're going to realize, now, brother, I'm not going to misuse this part of the body of Christ right here, because this part is a part of Jesus. This part is just him. And God, you know that God has given the greatest gift to the less honored members so there'd be no division in the body. See, in the world would never look at someone with less honored, but in the body of Christ, you look at the ones less honored, they have the greatest gifts. Now, isn't that something to consider? Now, see, because the one exalts himself, the Lord said he's going to humble him. You know how he humbles him? The law's got him. When you exalt yourself, pride, boast, and everything, the law turns loose the works of darkness on you. They move the hedge and the power of darkness gets you. They're waiting to kill everybody. That's all they are. They're killing everybody in the world. And see, Jesus come here to take people out of the destruction and death and hell that people are in. And so what you do when you come to Jesus, You just move over to where you got a hedge around you. But if you're not going to walk God's way, he's not going to protect you. And the powers of darkness get you. Kill you. What you're doing everybody in the world. Now we're in, so we were in verse 3. You don't receive your answer to your prayers because you're praying with the wrong motives. Now, are you seeing the opposite now of what we saw in John 15:16? You get all your prayers answered. Now, here's what I want to tell you, folks. Listen to me right here. Start moving to the light. Start getting in a word, and a word, the word, the word. You know, in a word. I mean, we have to work, and we have to do certain things and everything. But don't let in these worldly priorities. Get that television set out of there. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Everything in comes, you just sit there and watch it. Some of you are probably not even listening to what I'm saying. I want to tell you right now so you remember what I told you. When you sit there and watch that thing, you just watch when you start to go to bed that night. All of a sudden, you was enjoying more peace than you thought you was, and all of a sudden, all hell's all rolled back on you again. Because, see, your heart's enjoying that because the flesh loves it. See, you either starve the flesh and you feed the spirit, or you starve the spirit and feed the flesh. Now, whatever you feed becomes strong. Are you hearing me? So if your heart's living up far above, you're not going to feed yourself here below. It feeds. You people are trying to get lust, go read those newspapers, and the enemy is there getting you to look for places in there about sex and all kind of stuff like that. And so you never can be rid of it. Because you won't starve it. You keep wanting to feed it and let it come back. And we're going to learn a lot of things from each other. It's a beautiful, wonderful place. In the midst of it, there's going to be some little flesh roaring and things like that, but it's not going to matter at all. Flesh is always going to be upset when because flesh and the devil is in agreement. See what I mean? So don't you be bothered by roarings and talking. You understand what I mean? Because I'm going to tell you something. God is going to make you stronger than anything that can stand against you. Because if it didn't left up to you, you wouldn't have need Jesus. Is that right? All right, now verse 4. You adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Now, adulteresses are people who walk in both directions. Now, let me ask you something. Is that exactly what we saw in Romans 7? When you're walking double-minded, if you don't put this to death, you don't put the flesh old man to death, well, then you're adulteress. Isn't that right? You're trying to be joined to both of them. Is that what we saw in your Bible? Amen. So what we can see is this wisdom is world, flesh, and demonic. You can't walk, talk, and act like the world. You're separated from the world into righteousness. You walk and talk like the Lord. Amen. So you become an enemy of the world when you walk out the flesh, an enemy of the world. God destroys all his enemies. So here's what you're told to do if you've been walking this way. You've been told to do, and look in verse 8. James 4, verse 8, start drawing near to God. And when you start seeking God and drawing near to him, what's he going to do? When you get in that word and start seeking God and drawing near to him, he's going to draw near to you. And then what do you do next? You're going to cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, what? You're double-minded. Amen? Get all that double-mindedness out there. Get everything. It's the heart's limb of the flesh. And repent of it. Turn from it. And then get in the war there, verse 7. Submit therefore, go forward to God. Resist the devil. Start resisting the devil. Don't ignore him. And then when you start resisting him, he's going to have to flee because you're not going to listen to anything he has to say, right? And then verse 9. You're going to be miserable. You're going to mourn. You're going to weep. And your life will turn into mourning. Your joy to gloom. That's brokenness. And then verse 10. This is how you get into the presence of the Lord right there. Humble yourself now. You're in the presence of the Lord. He who has clean hands and what? Pure heart. That's the way you get in the presence of the Lord. And then that's why he said over in James 5, 16, therefore confess your sins one another. Get your heart cleaned up. Get things right with one another. And pray for one another so that you may be what? You have to do these things. You have to get these things right so you can be healed because it's effective prayer. What kind of man? Righteous people, and then when the church starts walking and is up there, he said, you lay hand, you anoint with oil, and they will be restored, because I'm going to do it through you, because I have your heart, and I'll answer all the prayers of those who bear in fruit for me. Is that good, Otis? Now, that's why, see, this why it hadn't been working before. And look here. And along comes pride and greed. Growling. Boy. And they're coming, and they want to intimidate you with persuasive argument and everything. And they just eat you alive with words. You know why? It's the devil. It tears down everything their heart loves. It tears down their whole life because their heart loves the flesh and pride and greed. And they come. Don't be moved by it, folks. Don't be moved by words. Oh, let me just show you something else. I just really want to encourage you, folks, because, see, God's moving you into a place that's just, don't try to working out all this out in your head. But Titus 3, let me just show you something. Titus 3, verse 9. Now, if people don't mean business about the word, folks, here's what you need to do. Verse 9, shun foolish controversy and genealogies and strife and for the unprofitable and what? Worthless. Now, let me ask you something. I want you to think about this. Can you tell somebody that's really speaking the truth? Can you see somebody that's got mad and they don't want to, they want to, you know, they want to attack. They're not really speaking the truth. They just want to argue or controversy or whatever. Now, here's the way you start out with somebody. Now, someone can be, you know, someone can come and then you can start showing them the word and then this thing kind of come off if they really mean business in their heart. But look here what it says. Reject the factious man after the first and second warning. And, you know, you just tell him now, see, you know, brother, let me tell you something. Sir, that spirit that I'm seeing on you is not the kind that where we can get with God here and find out anything. Now, just warn him. And now, if you want to be, now if you and I are both seeking the same thing, and we got this Bible right here, we should be able to find what we're looking for. But this spirit is on you right now. It's not an attitude of love and seeking the truth, is it? And so, you know, so warning, and then knowing that such a man is what? He's perverted, and he's what? He's sinning, and he's self-condemned right there. Because you know why he's self-condemned? Because of what's going on out of his mouth, his attitude toward the Word of God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So listen, folks, don't never be intimidated that you have to don't be intimidated by nothing or nobody. But you don't have to be drawn into any situation. Just watch your mouth. Don't say things wrong, and don't build up unforgiveness or something, because the powers that aren't use people to attack you, so you'll turn around and get unforgiveness or say words and anything, and it breaks your fellowship before the Lord. If you ever make these mistakes, hurry to the sacrifice. Amen? Repent. And get forgiveness and then get that stuff off of you. Don't let the sun go down on your anger to give opportunity to the devil. Now, you can be angry from the Lord's point of view, and you can be angry. You can be jealous from God. You can be jealous for heart, but you're never jealous after the flesh. You're angry from the flesh, all right? I'm angry to see people blocked by traditions and things, but you got to separate and love the people. You got to love them. And just see, they're snared by these things. And it was only grace that you was able to be. It's the grace of God that you were able to see anything. You didn't figure nothing out on your own. Right? Okay, now, so why don't you look with me in Genesis 3 quickly. Genesis 3. And when you get Genesis 3, I want you to get 2 Corinthians 11. We're going to double up on it. You know what I had wanted to do? I'd wanted to try to get to a certain point, and I wanted to get into some of the last days right here. But you, folks, do you see now why I wanted to spend this extra time in the Word so I can get you to a place? Let me just share something with you. If we hadn't got to a certain place in the Word this week, then what you got would have just been taken away from you. But see, you get so much Word, and it makes you strong. It makes you strong, and it makes you determined. Boy, I'm gonna hold this Word. I'm gonna hold Jesus. Where if you just got to live the light, well, you ain't go on. So the first person that comes along, going to talk you out of it. Folks, don't try to discuss things like this that people's not in the Word with you, because flesh will always talk you out of it. And then flesh will make you comfortable. When you're supposed to be dying, they'll just They'll just really make you comfortable. Flesh will always sympathize with flesh. That's the reason it goes to hell. Flesh far into the flesh. And that's just exactly the way it is. And I'm not saying that to be hard or smart. It's just the way it is. Now, we see in Genesis 3, verse 4, you know, the Lord had already told Adam, said, if you eat off the tree of death, you shall surely die. It's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. Verse 4. And the serpent said to the woman, you surely shall not die. Now, you know what you're looking at right there? Doctrines of demons. Can I just tell you, that is doctrines of demons. Says you can eat off the tree, you can eat of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life, and you surely shall not die. I'm going to sit here a while, and then I'll skip like a calf directly. But is that what doctrines of demons tell you today? You can eat off this tree of death right here, and you surely shall not die. Right? But the Lord says sin, death works on, in through sin. Is that correct? All right, now, so we know she went ahead and ate off the tree there. And look what she said in verse 13. Then the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you've done? And the woman said, the serpent what? See me and I. Well, let me ask you something. We've been seeing Scripture over and over. Do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. Isn't that right? Amen? All right, now turn over to 2 Corinthians 11. Now, who did we see that comes along and tells you that you can eat off the tree of death? Did we look at the false teachers? Did we look at the false prophets? Did we do that last night? Huh? Shake your head. I just wonder if I was here by myself. Okay, now verse 14. And no wonder, 11:14, no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it's not surprising if his servants, who disguise themselves in sheep's clothing, they disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, and the only way you're going to know them by hearing these things come out of their heart, whose end is going to be according to what? Their deeds, because they're walking out of the flesh, and they preach and teach the things about the Lord, but see, they've got idols in their heart, so their motives are not clean. They're not going to tell you all the word. They're just going to tell you part of the word, and they use the other part of the word to lead you into deception. Amen? Okay. All right, look verse 2 there. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 2. Now, we're in the New Testament again, aren't we? Okay. Now, it says right there in verse 2, for I'm jealous for you with a godly jealousy, but I betrothed you to one husband, that to Christ I might present you as what? Christ to be formed in you, completed in you, that you'll be a pure virgin, you'll have a pure heart. Is that correct? Okay, now verse 3. But Paul said, I fear for you. Now, where it says afraid, right? Just mark fear. Paul said, I am fearful, lest as the serpent deceived Eve, did we see where he deceived Eve? By his craftiness and telling you surely shall not die, your minds should be led astray from the simplicity and the purity of devotion to Christ. Instead, you know, these serpents. Now, I'm going to tell you, it's simplicity and purity. Now, let me tell you why, folks. And I'm going to tell you something. Now, I want you to understand something. You cannot know the Word of God without spiritual thoughts. You know what those spiritual thoughts are. You would wonder, well, why, maybe in my particular part, why am I able to know certain things? I know certain things because God just took a whosoever will, and he showed me a few things. Right? Now, let me tell you why I'm share these things, because I want to encourage you folks, because you're programmed to, you have to get it from a man, see. Now, this is what he wants to do to all of us. You understand what I mean? He wants to do this all of us, but you have to be diligent. Amen? You're going to get abused, you're going to be misused, flesh is going to just walk right over the top of you when he can and everything, and you have to keep getting up and going to the light. Amen? Now, it's a simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ, because I'm going to tell you something. When you really get in that Word and you start walking this thing, you're going to find the presence of God doing things in your life. See, that's what grace is, to make you something that you're not. But see, that's how you draw near to God. Are you here? And when you don't be deceived, now you're warned, just like Eve was deceived, you can eat this lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and boastful pride of life. You can walk with this double-mindedness, heart, which we know in James 1, a double-minded man not receiving anything from God, but skip over that when pride and greed's teaching you. Because pride and greed is smarter than God. Amen? So, then, here's how that the powers of darkness come and lead you astray. Here's the way they deceive you like they did Eve in verse 4. For if one comes and preaches what? The servants of Satan are going to come and preach to you and lead you after another Jesus. They will lead you, or you receive a different what? Spirit. And when you follow another Jesus, you're going to get a deluding influence on you, a deluding spirit, which you've not received, or a different what? You receive a different gospel. Now, that's how they bring to you. That's how they bring it to you. Instead, now, you, when you get all these things, you just bear them beautifully. You just bear all these things beautifully, doesn't it? And look at verse 20. For you bear with anyone if he enslaves you, if he just devours you, if he takes advantage of you, if he exalts himself. Do you see that? Huh? Okay, now, I'm just going to run this by you. We talked about, we looked at this already before in 2 Timothy 2. And we go and see that what a servant of Satan looks like. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 13, it's imposters. That's who a servant of Satan is. He's an imposter. Evil men, they perceive from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Deceive folks to deceive you if you let them. That's how the blind lead the blind, and they hold to a form of godliness. Verse 5. 2 Timothy 3, verse 5. They hold to a form of godliness. Now, when you hold them to a form of godliness, I want you to know that's how you're led astray to another Jesus. And you're led astray to another gospel, and you get different spirits. Now, some people try to distinguish between that by saying, well, we cast out demons and we pray for the sick. I know who that's about over there. Well, they're still walking in the same thing. And a lot of people call them spirit-filled, and the devil's all over them. Now, what spirit do you think that is? Huh? Now, isn't that right? So, don't go by person that say they're spirit-filled until you hear nothing but the Spirit of Jesus coming out of their mouth. Amen? Because we already know that you can cast out demons, you can prophesy, and you can do miracles, and that's where the deception is going to come in the last days. You don't want... I'll wait a little later, and I'll just show you how... We'll just deal with a man coming into the temple. Is he going to walk into the temple right there and just take over? Just tell you, we'll just look at that directly and see how he does these signs and wonders. Well, anyway... They hold to a form of godliness, although they deny the power, which is the power of the Word. It said, avoid such men as these. And chapter 3, verse 2, they will lead you to be lovers of self. They'll lead you to be lovers of money. They'll lead you to be lovers of self. They'll lead you to be lovers of money. Or boastful, which is pride. Isn't that right? Unloving? See, that's what a form of godliness. See, that's a fruit of ungodliness, a form of godliness. Unloving, to be gossip, you're speaking against people without self-control, haters of good, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, and that's where a form, always learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth, and it's because it's a veil in front of their eyes. And, okay? Now that is a form, that's how false teachers lead. They lead you after a form of godliness, and then they'll lead you to be lovers of self and lovers of money and whatever like that. Right? Is that what your Bible says? Is that what I'm saying or what the Bible says? Bible's saying that. All right, now let's look back in 1 Timothy 6. So now let me ask you something. Would these people both be speaking blessings and curses? Would they? They'd be speaking blessings and curses. They're double-minded and they've got a double heart. They're trying to marry the old man and Jesus too, right? They're adulterers. Now, that's exactly right. Okay, now, I want you to look at me in 1 Timothy 6, verse 3. Though if anyone advocates a different doctrine and doesn't agree with the gospel, those of our Lord Jesus Christ, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, and with the doctrine that conforms you to godliness, which is the gospel. These folks are conceited. That's where they are. Love is their self. They understand nothing. That's a veil. They have a morbid interest in controversial question, and that's the disputes about words and won't dispute about the law. They don't want to come to light. They just want to argue about everything. Out of which arise, because something else has got their heart, they can't never come there. For which arise envy, strife, abusive language, evil suspicion, and constant friction between these men, a depraved mind, and they are deprived of the truth. They are deprived of the truth, ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain for the flesh. In other words, an opportunity for the flesh. If you look back in verse 20, chapter 5, though the rest also may be fearful of sinning and everything. In other words, in the body of Christ, you just don't deal with it. Everyone's there to look at folks. If everybody's coming together and without the sanctification, you're not going to see the Lord. Now, what kind of congregation do you think that is? Let me tell you something. Are you aware that if you do anything deceitful, if you do things deceitful for your own no one there may know but the powers of darkness and God know it. And if you're doing anything deceitful in your heart, you might get away with it with everybody else, but you'll not get by God because he'll put those things come on you. So that's the ones that a book is written for those that fear the Lord, because you're going to fear the Lord like that. You can't do deceit. With old flesh, lust, you can be deceitful. You can set an ambush. You can do things to kind of please your flesh, but not before God, because you know all through the Bible that he talks about the ones who say that he doesn't see. God doesn't see. Can you read that all through the Bible? God doesn't see. They think God doesn't see. God's seeing everything in their hearts, folks. And when your motives are just Jesus, everything under the Lord, well, see, you don't have anything to worry about or be concerned about. You're doing everything in the Lord. If you make a mistake, go to sacrifice. You're not doing it willfully, are you? Isn't that right? Church and Acts. Now, that's the pattern. They were one heart and they were one mind. They all knew that because they all walked in the fear of God. They were one heart and one mind because only Jesus stood in the middle. Boy, there wasn't any of this deceitful motives here of some man. Are you see what I'm saying? There wasn't anything deceitful about that. We're one heart and one mind. And I want you to know they continually stayed before the Lord. Now, that's the secret today, because pride and greed's taken us out of the Word and say, you just come, just be religious and read your few little scriptures. Get in that Word and stay in that Word. Don't never, ever get out of it, because that's where life is. Amen? Now, that's the secret, folks. It's not intellect like we've been told by pride and greed. It is being before God with a sincere heart. Amen? And see, that eliminates all this being beat down, the inferiority, and all this other thing, you see, that you have to depend on flesh. You depend on Jesus. Now, so we see if another doctrine doesn't conform you to godliness, you're going to speak blessings and curses. Isn't that right? And listen, your heart will be attached to that doctrine. You'll have a false security, and it'll send you to hell. Now, very obviously, have you been able to see that clearly in the Word this week? Now, once again, I want to say, what about someone who would hear this Word of God right here, and they couldn't correct it, but they won't receive it? They won't receive it. You know why they won't receive it? They would never let it come in to where a congregation was, or some false shepherd. They are false shepherds. There's a bunch of them. You hear me? You can tell the real shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. But when they come in, they wouldn't let this gospel come in there because it'd tear down what their heart loves. They couldn't stand to see some of the numbers to go. They couldn't stand to see some of the nickels to go. They couldn't stand to lose something. Their heart gets tied to the buildings and things like that. Their plant and their name, their reputation, and all these kind of things, they're deceived. And when you take this part of the gospel right here, I've shared with you this week, it tears it all down. See, this, and when you won't receive it, then what you're really saying right there, that I refuse to let the Word of God tear down all idols in my heart. And when you reject that part of the Word, Jesus becomes a rock of offense, and the Word of God, Jesus becomes a stumbling stone. And I say you stumble over till you're doomed. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So just guard very carefully the people who would not receive this part of the gospel, they won't receive that part of the Bible. Can I tell you that they're leading people to hell? If they won't receive what we've been talking about this week, because all are, and they did, that's exactly what's happening. So now I want you to turn to Matthew 15 and Mark 7. Mark 7 and Matthew 15. Matthew 15 and Mark 7. Now, if you're speaking blessings and curses, you're not overcoming, you're practicing sin, you're adulterous, aren't you? Now, what we saw in that kind of wisdom comes from who? The world, flesh, and demonic. That's the way the world talks. It's the way it comes from the flesh. It's all stirred up and controlled by the demonic, and that's the way they have the world. So let me ask you something. Did Jesus call that adulteress? That's what the Word of God calls it through Paul and James. This is called adulteress. But we know that adultery speaks blessings and curses. Now, let me ask you something. If I had in my heart pride, ego, rebellion, unforgiveness, anger, resentment, and I'm not willing to come and give any of these things up there, I'm going to hold on to them. I want to practice them. Does Jesus really have my heart? He doesn't, because I have idols in my heart if I'm unwilling to give them up. Now, in Matthew 15, I want you to look at something right here. Now, when I get through with Matthew 15, I'm going to turn to Mark 7, but I want you to hold on to Matthew 15, okay? Verse 18, but the things, Matthew 15, verse 18, but the things that proceed out of the mouth, it comes from where? It comes from the heart. Is that right? And those what? It defiles the man. Well, let's see what's coming out of his heart right here, out of his mouth. From his heart come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, theft, false witness, slanders. You see all those things? When it comes out of your mouth, that's called what? Fruit, isn't it? Now look over at Mark 7, verse 20. Mark 7, verse 20. Is that which what? Defiles a man. For from within, that means your heart, out of the heart of men proceed what? Here it comes. Evil thoughts, fornication, thefts, murders, adulteries, deeds of coveting, wickedness, as well as deceit. Do you see the deceit? Sensuality. There's envy coming out of his mouth and heart. There's slander coming out of his mouth and heart. Is that double-mindedness? Is that blessings and curses? There is pride coming out. There is foolishness. All these evil things proceed from within. Is coming out of his heart, and it defiles a man, which shows that his heart is in agreement with these things. Amen? Now, does Jesus have his heart? Do you know why someone thinks they can walk that way? They're walking deception. I'm going to show you why they think they can walk that way. Look back in verse 6. And he said to them, rightly did Isaiah prophesy, you hypocrites, it is written, these people are honoring me with their mouth, their lips, but I don't have their heart, because their heart is far away from me, and in vain, they're wasting their time, in vain they're worshiping me. They're teaching as doctrines. Pride and Greed wrote some doctrines here. They're teaching in doctrines the opinions of men. And they've gathered around these doctrines that permit them to walk with these things, speaking with double-minded slander. See, this is the doctrines of demons. You know this kind of wisdom is the demons. They do this and you surely shall not die. And then so out comes deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Is that pretty clear? They gather around the doctrines, the men, and they're worshiping in vain. When anyone's practicing these things, you're not going to enter into the kingdom of God. When pride and greed get through that, that's not even in the Bible. Amen? So look what happens next. When you gather around these doctrines like this, and around the kings of pride and greed, to exploit and take part of the gospel to let you walk that way so they can fulfill their selfish ambition. Here's what verse 8 you do. You neglect the commandment of God and you hold to the tradition of men. You just let the word go. He was also saying to them, you nicely set aside the commandment of God in order to keep your tradition because your tradition's got your heart. Now look at me, folks. People who love traditions and brought up in tradition, you know what they're going to go teach? They teach traditions. People who's got the Lord's got their hearts, you know what they're going to go teach? The Word of God. Now there's the difference right there. Now let me show you something. Anyone who loves traditions will not be teachable to the Word of God. They can't come to the light. Are you hearing me? They will not come to the Word. Forget it. And if, particularly if they've been at it very long, their heart becomes, if Jesus hadn't got their heart's so hard they can't even hear it. Be very angry. They want to push you off a cliff. Now verse 13. Thus they invalidate the Word of God. You make the Word of God of no effect by your tradition, and it's been what? It's handed down. Just handed down and passed down because it's handed down and supposed to be right. And you do many things such as that. Amen? Praise God. Now we're back in Matthew 15. We see the same thing right here. Verse 8, this people honor me with their lips. Their heart is far from me in vain. They worship me in vain. You know what? If where it says in vain, just put lost. And don't call people a body of Christ that are right there and they're not seeking for change or looking for life. Amen? They're already rich, increased in goods. They're teaching as doctrines the opinions of men. Verse 14, let them alone. They are blind what? They're blind teachers of the blind. If a blind man guides a blind man, both are going to fall into the pit. Now that's what happens when you follow pride and greed. You go to the pit. And did a very interesting thing happened over in the first part there, verse 1. Some Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, why do your disciples transgress the traditions of the elders? Now Jesus, they come along and your disciples are breaking our traditions right here because they won't wash your hands when they eat bread, and we always have the outside flesh looking good, you know. And he answered and said to them, and why do you yourself transgress the word of God for the sake of your tradition? Wasn't that a pretty good question? Probably would, wouldn't it? Well, praise God. Titus 1. Now, we're supposed to have a pure heart, aren't we? Titus 1, all the T's are together. Titus 1, verse 15. Titus 1, 15. To the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are what? That's a divided heart. Who are defiled and unbelieving. Anyone that's defiled is unbelieving. You know that, don't you? If they're not overcoming. If they're not trying to overcome, they're unbelieving, right? Nothing is pure but both their mind. See their mind right there? Their mind's led astray and their conscience are defiled. They don't have a good conscience and they don't have confidence for God. They profess to know God, but by their deeds they are denying. They're detestable. Their disobedience, and unlike to what we saw in 2 Timothy 2, they're worthless for any good deed. Amen? Right? Well, now, I want you to see that how you draw near to God. Turn back to Isaiah 29. We want to see this thing about drawing near with your heart, mouth, and your heart far from the Lord. Amen? Isaiah 29. You're going to see what a false son is here. Isaiah 29. All right, in Isaiah 29, if you look with me, you see this verse 13. Then the Lord said, Isaiah 29:13. Then the Lord said, because this people, they're drawing near to me with their mouth, lips, words, But I don't have their hearts. They remove their hearts far from me, and their reverence for me consists of traditions learned by mechanical repetition. In other words, their traditions is what got their hearts, right? Look at verse 10. Back up to verse 10. For the Lord has poured over them a spirit of what? You see that word poured. Can I just tell you that's a flood? That's the power. The hedge is down. People that draw near the mouth and the heart far from the Lord, they're breaking the law, and you know it brings wrath and condemnation and death, right? He has shut your eyes, the prophets. Now, they're asleep, and that's the sleeping. That's the ones that sleep today. And the Lord said, blowing the trumpet throughout the land, and he's trying to tell them, wake up! Wake up, he's coming! And that's what's going on right now. Now, who's going to hear? And many are not going to wake up, are they? But there's going to be a remnant that's going to come to the Word and hear. Can I tell you that's a trumpet? That's a trumpet blowing right now. He's sending his angels to blow the trumpet. And the angel is someone that blows the trumpet for the Lord. Amen? So it's blowing. Do you hear one blowing? I believe I do too. For the Lord has poured over you a spirit of deep sleep. He has shut your eyes, the prophets. He's covered your head, the seers. And the entire vision of this book is going to be words of a what? No understanding, deprived of truth. It's going to be a sealed book. Now look what else he does to them the book's sealed, he puts a veil over it, they can't see. See, he lets a deluding influence come over. Now verse 14. Look at the last part. The wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the discernment of their discerning men is going to be what? He removes all discernment from them, right? The powers of darkness got them, and they can't even know the difference right there. Now, look at verse 21 then. They cause people to be indicted by words, controversial speculation. They ensnare him who adjudicates at the gate. They defraud the one in right, trying to walk in righteousness with what? Meaningless arguments. Don't be trapped in those meaningless arguments because they just, if a person don't have the right attitude of love toward the Word of God, so you can't reason together. You see? Because, see, if you're coming in love and I'm coming in love, one of us, we're going to come to truth. You know, because, can I share a little secret? I want to tell you something, folks, that I had to learn the hard way, among other things. When you're ever going to have some kind of confrontation, don't begin thinking all the words you're going to say and everything that you have to, you know, have to have everything said right now. That's the enemy that puts that in your mind. You know why? He's trying to build up a case, you know. And you build up anger and irritation, then when you get there, it never works for you. You know why? You've listened to the enemy. Now, let me tell you how you do. You go there and you say, Lord, you know, I know I don't like what this person's done, and I don't think it's right, but I'm not going to be able to handle this situation, and I'm going to go there, and we're going to have a confrontation right there, but I'm not going to make up my mind what I'm going to say. I'm just going to start out in love. I'm going to be humble, and I'm going to do this in love. And you watch God come down on a thing like that. But if the enemy can get you to get your flesh to war knife to the flesh before you ever go there, are you hearing what I'm saying? You're fixing to get yourself in one of the biggest messes that ever was. Just stay home and pray. So, we see in Isaiah 30, verse 1, woe to the rebellious children, declares the Lord. They execute a doctrine or a plan or a program, but it's not mine to make an alliance, not of my spirit, in order to add sin to sin. Verse 9. For this is a rebellious people. What kind of sons are they? They are false sons. Sons who refuse to listen to the instruction of the Lord, who say to the seers, they won't listen to the word. Now you must not see vision and to the prophets. Now don't you preach to us what is right. You know, we want us a leader that's going to take us back to Egypt. You must not preach to us what is right. Speak to us pleasant words. Tickle our ears. Prophesy illusions. Tell us how great and wonderful we are in our stiff-necked rebellion on Sunday morning. How much God needs us. Get out of the way. Turn aside from the path. Let us hear no more about Jesus, the Holy One of Israel. Thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, Jesus, since you've rejected this word, you've shrunk back. you put your trust in oppression and guile and relied on them instead on the word. You won't listen to these folks. Therefore, this iniquity is going to be to you like a breach about to fall, a bulge in a high wall, low wall, when a collapse comes suddenly and in an instant. Amen? Now, I believe it'd be, let's just look at verse 15 while we're there. Thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, has said, in repentance and rest. That's rest. You have to enter into rest. You shall be saved. In quietness and trust is your strength. But you were not willing. You wasn't willing for those kind of things. You don't want to possess the land. You don't want to cease from your own works. Enter into rest. Folks, turn to Hosea 5. We're going to get to a thing here about how do you receive the mark of the Lord and the mark of the beast here. Hosea 5. Verse 3. I know Ephraim and Israel is not hidden from me. Now, I want you to know, understand very clearly who he's talking to is us here. But now, O Ephraim, you have played the harlot. Israel has what? If I'd went on the last part of Galatians 6, I could show you that we're the church is supposed to be the Israel of God. Isn't that right? The church has defiled itself. Their deeds will not allow them to return to their God. Why? There's a spirit of harlotry is with them. They've let the powers of darkness come in. And a spirit of harlotry is when your heart goes out to the flesh and the world. And they do not know the Lord. Moreover, the pride of this church, the pride of Israel testifies against him. Israel and Ephraim are stumbling in their iniquity. Judah also has stumbled with them. They'll go with their flocks and herd to seek the Lord, but they're not going to find him because he's withdrawn from them. They have dealt treacherously against the Lord. They have borne what? Illegitimate children. You want to teach false, take another gospel, another Jesus, and bear children that will not come to the light, will not seek discipline, will not receive reproof, and that's what an illegitimate child, if you want to write Hebrews 12 out from that, I think it's verse 8. You see the... Verse 11. Ephraim, they are oppressed in crushed in judgment. Why? Where's that judgment coming from? Breaking the law, isn't it? Because they have determined to follow man's command, right? They'd rather follow greed and pride than listen to the Lord. Therefore, I'm going to be like a moth, Ephraim, and like rottenness, the house of Judah. Did I already tell you that moth and rottenness is a curse? Now, this is how the powers of darkness come and move on you. See, folks, they just slow deterioration. I've mentioned some people, you know, somebody's going to be this movie star one day, and then the next thing you see them on the front of those inquiries, and they don't favor nothing, do they? It's just been a deterioration of sin. Just destroying their features, you know. You can just see the sin. You see what I mean? So, I'm like a moth, like Ephraim, like rottenness. Now, this is what this... Now, can I tell you, this moth and this rottenness is on people who store up treasures here in this world. If your heart's going to build up your treasure and kingdom and your security right here on earth, you better examine it again. Go read your Bible again. It's going to change. When Ephraim saw his sickness and Judah his wound, that means, you know, this is the curse come against them. Ephraim, they went to Syria and they sent to King Jerob to go to the world, but he's unable to heal you or to cure you of your wound. For I'm going to be, here's how Jesus comes like a thief. I'm going to be like a lion to Judah, that lion's the powers of darkness. I'm going to be like a young lion to the house of Judah. I'm going to tear them to pieces. I'll go away. I'm going to carry away, and there's going to be none to deliver them. Do you see that? You know, I want you to look with me over there in chapter 8 while we're close by. Now, see, this is why this is reading. I really wanted to encourage you about that tape on Babylon in the last days, because I just don't have time to get into all these things. But here's the kind of things you'll see right there.
In Hosea 8, verse 1, put the trumpet to your lips. Now, this is last days right now. Like an eagle, the what? The enemy, that's the powers of darkness, they've come against the house of the Lord. Why? Because they have transgressed the covenant. They're not walking in covenant, and they rebelled against the law. Do you see? Is that very plain? Huh? They rebelled against the law. They cry out to me, my God, we of Israel, we know thee. The church has rejected the what? Good. And therefore the enemy will pursue them. That's the powers of darkness. Now they have set up kings of flesh. There's pride and greed. Do you see them? But it's not the me. God said, I didn't have anything to do with it. And you put up these kings over yourself. You set up these letters. They've appointed princes. That's the leaders. But I didn't know it. I didn't have anything to do with it. They just set these men up. And pride and greed. And with their $100 bills, their silver and gold, they made idols for themselves that they might be what? Cut off. Did we look at that in Romans last night? Now look at verse 5. He has rejected your calf. You see that your old gold calf against him, and you know what happens when his anger burns. He turns loose the works of darkness. Verse 7, they sow the wind. That means words. They're not sowing the word. They sow the wind. And they reap the whirlwind, which is the curse, the powers of darkness. The standing grain has no head. You know, in other words, they're tares. They don't bear any fruit. It yields no grain. In other words, they don't yield any fruit because all they're eating is wind, words. Should it yield, who's going to swallow it up? The powers of darkness are going to swallow it up. The strangers swallow it up. And, well, I better get back where we were. Let's go over there to Revelation 17. Now, we're going to look at the church the last day. We'll look a little bit of it, okay? Do y'all recall that where we looked at the parable of the word, was it in Matthew or Mark 4, that where we saw the Son brings the trials, affliction, and persecution to tribulation and things to you. Did we look at that this week? I've been so many places. Did we look at that where the Son, in the parable of the Word, how the Son and the Son is the fiery trials? We didn't do it? Well, I better leave this long over here, this other part then. I'm not going to go back to it now. All right, now, Revelation 17. I was going to show you something in 16 right there. In Revelation 17, we're talking about, in verse 1, the great harlot. The judgment's coming on the great harlot. Why? Verse 2, whom the kings of the earth committed acts of immorality, and those who dwell on the earth were made what? Drunk with the wine of her immorality. Now, let me show you something, folks. Wine means you're teaching. What you're teaching is immorality. See, you're drinking the wine. See, they're going to drink of the wine of God, which means His judgment, His Word, right? But when you drink their words, you drink his wine, the judgment, in other words. But look here. They're made drunk. When you drink this doctrines of demons and this immorality right here, here's what you do. You stagger and stumble in the spiritual darkness. You can't find a way. That's why it's talking about in the last days, you better not be drinking. Amen? You better not be eating and drinking with the drunkards. And see, you go back. See, you say he's not coming for a long time, and they begin to beat the slaves. In other words, his slaves have begun to dominating his flock and lording it over the flock. He said, don't eat and drink with them. Right? See, I thought I was going to be able to get into some of that today, but anyway, verse 4, and the woman, this is a harlot church. This is a church today. This is Babylon. The woman was clothed in purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls. She had in her hand a gold cup full of the abominations. That's what she's given the congregation. It's full of abominations and unclean things of her immorality. That's what the congregation is drinking. Will you stand up with your Bible just a minute, please? Now I want you to watch very closely in verse 5. And upon her what? Forehead right there is written a what? Mystery. Now let's see this mystery. Babylon the Great. Now that's the harlot. The mother, what is mother a type of? church. Jesus is the bridegroom, and the bride is supposed to be the mother. Is that right? The church produces. But this Babylon produces what? She's a mother of what? Harlots that love flesh in the world and of the abominations of the earth. Do you see that? Now, see, this is where, if we had time, we'd go back in Jeremiah and we look at a harlot's forehead. A harlot's forehead is the opposite of a mind of Christ. Do you follow me? Okay. Let's just jump on over to Revelation 18 and just see. Revelation 18, verse. Now, I want to remind you one other thing. When you're defiled is when you're double-minded. Is that right? You're defiled. That's why they go and defile the temple. Amen? How does the darkness defile the temple? Let's go in verse 2. Now here's fallen away. A voice cried out with a mighty voice by saying, fallen away, fallen away is Babylon the Great. She, that's the big whore harlot church. She has become a dwelling place of what? Demons and a prison of every unclean spirit. Why is she a dwelling place of demons? Because when you break the law, they move in. Is that right? And that's what she produces, people, harlots that can go and walk and obey into God's law. Is that right? That's what we've always seen in Hosea. You won't walk in covenant and you rejected the law. Okay. Now, verse 3. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the passion of her immorality, and the kings of the earth have committed acts of immorality with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich by the wealth of her sensuality. Do you see now, the businessmen of the earth have become rich by the wealth of her sensuality. Always building to make things look good because, see, she's glorifying herself. Look at verse 7. To the degree that she what? Flesh. See, flesh always wants to get the glory of itself. It'll help God out. But she's glorifying herself and she lived what? Sensuously. That's 2 Peter 2, the false teachers. And to the same degree that she's doing all this, you judge and you're judged. The way you treat others, the way you're going to be treated, to the same degree give her what? Torment and mourning, for she's saying in her heart, I sit as the queen, I am not a widow. Jesus is a king, I'm the queen. I'm not a widow. I'll never see mourning. There's no curse. There's none of these things can come on me. There's no judgment can come on me. Are you seeing this? Huh? Now that's Babylon, the whore harlot. That's the false security. That's Laodicea. For this reason, in one day, and here's what's coming now. Plagues, and I want you to know this, pestilence is diseases. Mourning, and see, of course, that's mourning, is mourning over the curse, hurting, pain, and all these things that's on people. Famine means the famine of the word, ever learning, never able to come to knowledge of the truth, and she'll be burned up with fire, for the Lord God who judges her is strong. You see that? So you're told in verse 4, and another voice came from heaven saying, come out of her, what those two words? Now, what does it say again? Come out of her who? My people are going to come out of her that you may not participate in her sins, that you may not receive of her plagues. Because this, it counts a rebellion, they're harlot, they're whore, and there's nowhere it says there, you go be a lighthouse. It says you flee from that. Amen? Now, lighthouse, that's the more, somebody gets a thimble full of truth, and they're going to sit there and in a pig pen. And going to help the pigs out. Now, I'm not saying that unkind. I'm telling you that when you're in a pig pen, you're a pig. You know what I mean? That's what you act like. So, we see, boy, I wish I'd had time to go back in Jeremiah some, but look at verse 23. And the light of the lamp, now see, this is virgins in the last days. So one of them, the foolish virgins, don't have any light. And don't say they're saved because the Lord don't open the door for them. Amen? Said, and I don't know you. I don't know how much plainer you can make it. Pride and greed makes them saved. Verse 23, and the light of the lamp, that's a word, will not shine in you any longer. The voice of the bridegroom, that's Jesus, and a bride is not going to be heard in you any longer. For your merchants were the great men of the earth because all the nations were deceived by your sorcery. Your sorcery. Now, you know, Look, let's go back to verse 22. And here goes all your entertainment. And the sound of the harpist and the musician, the flute players and the trumpets not going to be heard in you any longer. There goes the entertainment. And no craftsman in any craft. Now, the craftsman in any craft will be found in you any longer. You know what this judgment's coming over for? Here's a craftsman up there in verse 20. Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you saints, apostles, and the prophets. See, saints, apostles, and prophets, because God has pronounced judgment for you against her. See, none of the real saints, apostles, and the prophets are in this Babylon church right there. They're not. So, you know what the craftsmen are? You see them in Ephesians 4. They are the ones, the teacher and the prophet and all that build up the body of Christ. That's who craftsmen are. Just like in Old Testament, you know, that they were anointed to build the tent of meeting, you know, the gold work and all this thing. Now, we build the craftsmen are the one that build up and perfect the body of Christ. Amen? And so that's who the craftsmen. There's no craftsmen in there. There's no craftsmen in there, because if they're in there, they're getting out of there. They're not going to stay in that thing because they're coming to the light. And in her, verse 24, was found the blood of the prophets and the saints and all who had been slain on the earth. Now, let me show you what happens right here, folks. Whenever in this religion of Babylon right there, whenever they began, the musicians right here, begin playing, the flute player, the trumpeters, and the harpists and all these play, what are you supposed to do? You bow down to the image. What's the image of? Carnal doctrines are the image of the beast. When you follow after them, you're going to be like Satan. You're going to be like the powers of darkness. When you bow to them, you're going to be like them. So the carnal doctrines of demons are an image of demons. Because they cause you to go walk in rebellion to God. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Huh? Now see, that's what the false prophet, that's what the false beast that comes up out of the earth. Let me just show it to you. Back up there in about 13. We see there in verse 2 that here's a dragon, and he gives his authority to the beast right there. Now, the beast are the powers of darkness. May I tell you what these are the sons of perdition. These are the sons of death. And I saw one of his heads that had been slain. His fatal wound was healed. Now, was Satan's head crushed at Calvary? All right, what happened when the church went into darkness there? You can sit back down, the rest of you. I'm over here, involved in this thing right here, in 13. I forgot about you. All the ones that skipped like calves were still standing, weren't they? Good to find out where the calves are, isn't it? Okay. Was his head crushed at Calvary? All right, when a church went back into darkness and everything, well, he just come alive, didn't he? And who's ruling and reigning today? Who do you think's rich? Is pride and greed ruling and reigning today? Absolutely. And so, this fatal wound was healed, and the old earth was amazed. And what they've been doing? Falling at the beast. Now, the beast here is the power, dragons, the powers of darkness. Well, of course, he's a beast too, but these powers of darkness are beasts. And see, that's where the earth is falling after. They're falling after the beast. And they worship the dragon because he gives his authority to who? To these powers of darkness. And they worship the beast. Now, let me ask you something. Are you worshiping the beast when your heart is living out the flesh? Is that how you go to take the cup of the Lord when your heart is really living out the flesh? Are you trying to take the cup of the Lord and cup of demons too? That's what we saw. And so, better take heed lest you think you stand and you're going to fall, right? And so that's blessings and curses. Is that right? Now you're seeing, and this, for this reason, many of you are weak, sick, and the number sleep. Instead of being blessed, see, when you go take the Lord's Supper, you're renewing death. You're renewing death to yourself. But then when you take it wrongly, you judge your body wrongly, and what do you think's happened to you? For this means that instead of a blessing comes on you, what comes on you? Curse. Weak, sick, and a number of sleep. So this is how you, when your heart goes out the flesh, you're really worshiping demons. And there was given to his mouth to speak arrogant words of blasphemies. Now, do you think these powers of darkness blaspheme the Lord? Do you ever cast these demons out of people? They're cursing and all kind of things. They blaspheme. They come against everything that God's doing. Is that right? All right. Now, and verse 6, and he opened his mouth in blasphemies against God to blaspheme his name and his what? Tabernacle. Where's the tabernacle today? Right. Okay. Now, verse 7, and it was given to him to make war with what? This is the powers of darkness, right? They're going to make war with what? The saints, and what are they going to do? Have they been overcoming them? That's right. Now look at verse 8. And all who dwell on the earth will worship these powers of darkness. Is that what you're seeing today? Everybody that walks out the flesh, are they worshiping the powers of darkness? Everybody except the ones whose name has not been written from the foundation of the world in the book of life. Is that right? All right, now look here, verse. Here's what's going on today. Now, verse 9, it said, if you have an ear, let him hear. Now, verse 10. If anyone is destined for what? Captivity, captivity he goes. If anyone's killed with a sword, what is the sword? The sword is a curse. That's, the curse that the Lord's... being killed is not a blessing, you know. It's a curse. It's judgment. And with the sword he must kill. Now, here is the what? Have we been reading that you've got to persevere and endure to overcome? Have we been reading that? Here is the perseverance and the faith of who? The saints. And here comes the false prophet. Here comes Babylon. Now, this takes care of the powers of darkness and Satan right near here. Here comes Babylon. And I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and she has two horns like a lamb, and she speaks as a what? Now look at me, folks. She has sheep's clothing on. She looks like a lamb, but she's speaking from the flesh. All of this, everything from the flesh is satanic. That's how you sound. Pride, greed, hate, unforgiveness, all these things are devil talk. That's the very nature of Satan. Let me see that. Hold up your hands. See, now that's Babylon. It comes up out of the earth. Now, what's Babylon going to do? She's going to build an image for everybody to come and bow down and have her music and everything, and everybody just... Are you hearing me? And then, see, when you bow down this, what do you think you're getting? You're getting the mark of the beast, because that's what's got your heart. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because you're saying, by my own right hand, and by my own right hand and my own power, I'm going to go into heaven. No way. No, you're not going to do it. Now, and he, see, this is really simple now when you see it. Isn't it really? You don't have to know what they're doing in the Far East or anything right there, do you? I don't have to know every historical thing is happening. Now, see, there are things happening in the natural when they happen in the spiritual. But I'm going to tell you something. People got their eyes on the natural. They're counting buzzard eggs and stuff like that, right? And see, they're not seeing these birds right here. Right? Okay. All right, he exercised all the authority of the first beast in the present, and he makes the earth. Now, this is what this beast that comes up out of the earth do. This is this whore harlot church. He makes the earth and those dwell in it to worship the demons, the first beast. Are you seeing that?
This concludes tape number 11. Please fast forward this tape to return it to the beginning. Please proceed to tape number 12, where this message continues.